What a wonderful meeting we've had this morning. Have you sensed that? Wow. Imagine picking up a testimony and you don't know Jesus, and when you put it down, you do. Just imagine that. And you're not even looking. And the Holy Spirit can do that. And that's our God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yeah, my prayer is that even this morning, the Holy Spirit will do something very special in each one of our hearts. Do you hope that this morning? Are you? Yeah, I do. I hope that God does that. Has anybody got any matches on them this morning? Now, you never ask that in a Methodist church, because there often was a rattle, and that was the matches. Has anybody got any? Just a lighter? Right, can I borrow your lighter? I've only just thought of this. Thank you. I'm going to leave that there. Well, I'm going to show you how it does it work. There we go. Can I? All the kids want to sit. All the kids are out. Well, no, I was going to turn it right up. No. Oh, we're all kids at heart. Just as well, because that's how we get in the kingdom. Unless we become like little children, we cannot see the kingdom of God. Why have I asked to borrow a lighter? Well, today I'm going to talk about heat. I'm going to talk about flames. And my message is entitled this morning, Rekindling. Sorry, yeah, Rekindling. Or igniting your passion for God. And it's likened to a flame. It was in the book of Pentecost. The book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit came like, not as, but like tongues of fire upon each one of them. Wouldn't that be lovely if somebody took a picture up here and they developed it and there was a tongue of fire on each one of us? Because we were allowing the Spirit to work in our hearts. What's the creative force behind all great art? What's the creative force behind all great music, great architecture, great writing, great drama? What is it? Do you know what it is?
The author.
The author? Yeah. Anything else?
Talent.
Pardon?
Talent.
Talent.
No.
Love. Yes. I want to say this morning, passion. 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 Nothing great is ever accomplished in life unless the person or the group or the couple or the team have passion. And also, nothing great is ever sustained in life. Think about your Christian life. You need passion. I need passion for my Christian life to be sustained. You see, passion energizes your life. Passion does that. It makes the impossible possible. Because it enables us to take hold of God, who performs the impossible. We don't do it, but God does. So this morning, what question am I going to ask you? Where's your passion? Before that, have you got any? Have you got any? And doesn't mean looking at your wife or your husband out the corner of your eye. Or going like that with your glasses, all right? That's a form of passion. I'm talking this morning about passion for God. And passion for the things of God. It's slightly different. Passion for God and for the things of God. Now, be honest. You don't have to put your hand up if it's a yes or a no. But have you got passion for God? Have you got it in your life? Can we see it? Can you see it? Can you recognize it? Now, I knew you might be thinking, Andy, at the moment, if I'm very, very honest, I don't have too much passion for God. I'm kind of that much passion for God. And anyway, what does it mean to have passion for God? And if I wanted it, where do I get it? All right, where do I get it? So today I want us to be thinking about reigniting, and I'll be unpacking this reigniting word, reigniting your passion for God. I'll be touching on getting passion for God and also keeping passion for God. And that's very important, keeping passion for God. You see, without passion, life becomes boring. Life becomes a little bit boring, becomes a bit monotonous. It becomes routine, becomes dull. Have you ever found that about life? It sometimes gets a little bit dull. Now, you might be thinking like that today. Bit monotonous, bit routine. Then you probably lack passion for God, if you think like that today. You're probably short of a bit of passion for God. I suppose the next important question is, do you want it to change? Because if you don't want your temperature to go up, your passion to go up, you won't be looking for it. In a sense, now you begin to switch off. I don't want any more passion for God. I'm quite all right, thank you very much. And you begin to switch off. I hope you don't. Did you know that God created you and me with emotions to have passion in your life? We are passionate beings about things, or can be. And he wants you to live a passionate life for him. Now, my title, the message is Reigniting Your Passion for God. Now, what does that mean? What does it suggest about your passion? If you've got to reignite it. It means you kind of had it, but somehow, like that lighter, it's going down. Or it's gone down. And God wants us to be reignited with passion for him. Now, how does it happen? Well, Jesus actually encountered a young man. Actually, yeah, he was young. And he was a bit of a religious leader. And he walked up to Jesus. And he said to Jesus, Lord, he was flattering Jesus, what's the most important thing in the law? What's the most important thing? Let me ask you, what's the most important thing from the law, the Torah? If you were that Jewish man, how would you answer if you were Jesus? Pardon? Love. Love what? God. Pardon? Love the Lord your God. Our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. Do you do that? You knew I was going to go there, didn't you? Isn't it great? We know these verses. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. And then somebody asks us the dangerous question. Do you love God with all those things? It kind of suggests we've got all those things and we can love God with all of those things. Jesus was saying there's nothing more important in a spiritual life than passion for God. Nothing. Because if that's a bit skee with, non-existent, then everything else we attempt to do goes nowhere. Now, there are various reasons for having and needing passion for God. I think, a bit more interacting today. Somebody said to me, interact more. Because it wakes up. No, because it keeps them awake. Bouncing back and forwards. There are various reasons for being passionate about God. Can you tell me some? Because he's passionate about us. Fantastic. He is. He's passionate about us. Anything else? He actually, Jesus, sacrificed himself. That's what. Isn't it wonderful? I really enjoyed this communion today. I really enjoyed Simon doing that. And he put mine on the top, folks, because he went and got mine. But I was blessed through that today. And singing, Be Still and Know, through when we were taking the bread and when we were taking the wine. God wants us to love him, as John said, passionately. In fact, actually, in the book of Revelation, I don't know whether it's chapter 2 or chapter 3, but it's the church at Laodicea. Do you know what did Jesus say to the church at Laodicea? I don't want you to be lukewarm. Because if you are, what did he say he would do? Vomit. Yes, that's probably the message. All right? He'll vomit us out. He'll spit us out if we love him lukewarm. Tepid, that's a lovely word, isn't it? A tepid bath. Ugh. All right? But God wants us to love him with passion. The message, actually, in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, it's that verse about loving God with your heart, soul, mind and strength. It says, love the Lord your God with all your passion. Oh, you wanna? I'm getting a bit excited about the message these days because I'm backwards and forwards. I read the NIV, you know, the New Inspired Version, and the RSV, and the Good News, and the Living, and then 2 hours later, I'll open the message. Not because it's any less, but because there's so many translations. And it, love God with all your passion, all your prayer, all your intelligence, and all your energy. That's what. It says there. And I want you to remember this word passion. Because anybody keeping count? How many times I'm mentioning it? Only five. I thought it was about 15, but there we go. Passion. The Greek word for this word heart is karpio, which is where we get kardios, which is where we get, you know, a cardiac arrest and things like that from. We take it from the Greek. And really, God's saying here, I want your heart. I want... Now, what's the root of the heart? Comes from your heart. Apart from blood. Well, isn't it your emotions? Your feelings? They say thoughts are from up there, all right? But your emotions from your heart. So God wants us to be emotional and have our emotions in tune and used in our relationship with God. Don't be scared of them. Don't be scared of them. God wants to engage our emotions. And so he wants us to love him with all of our heart. So he's saying, so put your muscles, put muscle into it. All right? Put effort, put energy, put your feelings into being passionate about God. Give it all you got. Don't be half-hearted about it. Now, this truth of being passionate for God and things from God is right through the Bible. It actually says that we should seek God how? Passionately. Seek God passionately. We're to love God passionately. We're to serve and obey God passionately. We're to trust God passionately. And if you didn't get the message, then Paul comes in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, and he says, whatever you do, all encompassing, okay? Whatever you do, do it with all of your heart and do it as though you're doing it unto the Lord and not to men. And that's what he said. That's how we're to love God. Now, what does the world say about passion? What sorts of things are we passionate about? Or what should I say, the world is passionate about? Football. I was actually, where was I this week? These two guys were so passionate. That's right, I was at the barber's, see? Don't worry, we'll get him. That's what everybody always says to me. Lynn always says, I get my money's worth, and all that sort of thing. But I was in the barber's, and I was listening to these guys. And they were having such a passionate conversation about somebody who was transferred for... Thank you, see? Here's a passionate man about football. £49 million. And they could have been talking about anything. But they were talking about football. Some people are passionate about football. I asked four kids this week at school. Asked me, Mr. Parr, not or you. Mr. Parr, which football team do you support? And I say, the winning one. No, I don't. Because I just don't. I'm sorry, don't follow football too much at all. What other sorts of things are people passionate about in the world? Football. Pardon? Celebrities. Name one.
Katie Price.
You're passionate about Katie Price. Okay. I tell you, it's all on tape. All right. Now, nobody's going to answer this one, are you? What else are we passionate about? We got football. Pete.
Food.
Put your hands up if you're passionate about food. I'm very passionate. That's why I put both hands up. All right. Food. Anything else?
Chinese.
Pardon?
Politics.
Really? And he's young. He'll soon. Yeah. What else? Pardon?
Money.
Passionate about money. Who's rubbing their hands then with me? Yes. Somebody else. Put the hand up. Pardon?
Talent.
Britain's got talent, you know. Passionate is just not on the telly. That's right. Anything else? We're doing really well. Pardon? Cars. What sort of car have we got, Lynn? A silver one. See? Lynn spotted a little car that was for sale. Didn't you? You know, at Kevin's, we drove past. I know. I had a Metro once. Not Metros. I've had just about everything. But the world is passionate about all sorts of things. Right? It's okay to go to a football match, shout your head off, get excited, get hoarse from yelling after, 90 minutes, and also, going to concerts as well. When your team loses, what do some football fans do? They cry. No, they cry. No, we're not putting swear on the tape. They cry. They cry, grown men, broken. All right? They cry. And nobody thinks it's a big deal. You see all these grown men on the terraces. And they're weeping. But what happens if your team wins? You've seen them at the back of the goals. They're jumping up and down like this. They're getting so excited. They dance about, wave about. All right? Now, if you do that in church, what do people think about you? What do you think about people who do that? They're crazy. They're fanatics. And the world actually says you can be fanatical, you can be passionate about all kinds of things, but not religion. Not your personal faith in Jesus. It's not politically correct, they say. This is what Paul says in Romans 12. He says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. In other words, keep the fires going spiritually. Keep them glowing. Keep them burning. All right? Now, this word keep here suggests that being passionate for God is not involuntary. All the doctors in here will know about involuntary. All right? Involuntary reactions in the body. Can they tell me anything?
Sneeze.
If that's an example, sneeze, yes?
You can't stop yourself.
You can't stop yourself. Isn't that good? Because when you sleep at night, you don't have to think, I better breathe. Or I better, you know, heart keep going. All right? Those are involuntary. Now, some people think to keep the fires burning in your spiritual life, it's automatic. Plug in. It isn't. Because Paul says, keep your spiritual fervor. It's a choice. You and I have a choice to keep our passion for God burning. And I can't keep your faith in God burning, and you can't keep mine. I can help you. I can throw a bit of petrol spiritually on you, but it's up to you and me to keep this fire for God burning. Now, I don't think by nature we're naturally very passionate about God. We'd like to be, but we're not. It's something that you and I must choose to do. Why? Because we easily get distracted by all kinds of things. Have you ever noticed your spirits are very easily dampened spiritually? Something happens. You can get discouraged easily. You can get depressed. Martin Lloyd-Jones has written a wonderful little paperback. It's about 40 years old now, and it's called Spiritual Depression. If you're not depressed when you read it, you will when you finish it. But it, tell you what, it opens your eyes to how you can become spiritually depressed and what God wants to do in it. You can be easily defeated and disillusioned in your spiritual life. Everything seems to conspire to dampening your passion for God. So Paul says, keep the fires burning. Keep them burning. Do things to keep them burning. Great that we've had a short testimony. I wish we'd had it longer, Marina. Because I always like to hear about what happened after the initial 50 years. Where you are. Can you remember when you first became a believer? Just think back if you can now. Okay, try and picture it. And then when you give your heart to Jesus, and then you suddenly realize, what a good deal this was for me. What a good thing it was for me. You get so bowled over by it, you actually get excited about it. Were you excited about it when you gave your heart to Jesus? Were you? Are you still excited? That's four. Okay. So I'm writing all this down, you know. What was so great about it? What was so great about your Christian life? Can you remember back? Pardon? You become full of joy. You don't know where it's come from, but it must have come from that. I was totally biblical illiterate. I remember in the first Bible study I had, and I actually said, the guy was such a scholar. But I said, you keep talking about this Godhead. Who is the Father, Son and Holy Spirit? I was so naive. I knew nothing. But I knew Jesus had made me excited. All right. Anything else you get excited about? Pardon? It's new. It's different. If it's not different from before, I don't think you become a Christian. And that's on the tape. All right. Yeah, you can cry. Emotions get engaged. Anything else? What are you excited about? What's happened? You've got eternal life. Hey, it doesn't begin when you die. It actually begins the day you put your trust in Jesus. Because it just, you know, it's eternal life. So I've given my heart to Jesus. And it, hey, it's going on. Anything else?
Amazement.
Amazement. Yeah. John Newton. Amazing grace. Me. God came to me. Came to you. Anything else? Yeah, it does. I had a wonderful opportunity this week to share Jesus after somebody did me a really hard sell. They wanted me to buy a very expensive vacuum cleaner. And he was so passionate about Kirby machines. I thought if I could bottle that, we could pass it out. And I said, actually, I was working on this in the same room. And I was so excited because he was so excited. And it gave me the opportunity. You know what I'm working on now? I'm working on being passionate for God. You're so passionate about Kirby machine. And it just opened the door. Couldn't get out. I had the key. And we talked and talked. I found out he had some very weird beliefs. He actually had a trainee with him, Richard. Richard didn't say much. He didn't. Lou did. But Richard was listening. And right at the end of the conversation, he said, Richard, I've got my own. I'm a pagan. And then they began to leave. And I thought, he was passionate about Kirby vacuum machines. I mean, I know he was going to get points to go on a holiday to Portugal, but that's beside the point. Being passionate. Now, lots of sorts of things actually try to kill our passion. Now, I didn't have the gall to show you some passion killers from home. Because that's what kills passion. All right? What sorts of things? So I thought I'd ask you this morning. This side are very quiet in the first, apart from the first two rows. Okay.
I'm not saying anything.
You've got me on tape. We're talking about any sort of passion. All right? What things are passion killers? I've got a list here, but I'm not going to tell you mine before unless you tell me some of yours.
Being weary.
Being weary is a passion killer. Yeah. Being weary.
Gadgets.
I'm trying to think. Gadgets, passion killers. Okay. No, I'm thinking, I like my coffee machine. All right. Anything else? Pardon? Sometimes work is a passion killer. Yeah. Let me give you my list of passion killers here. Colours in clothes clash. I don't fancy Anne in that shirt. You know, you don't carry pink very well. You look old fashioned. That can be a passion killer. All right? I'm saving the best to last. Baggy pants. I love baggy pants. Lynn hates them. And she'll always tell me if I'm wearing these passion killers. All right. She did, actually, from the age of 16. She told you always wore baggy pants. What's wrong with socks with sandals? What's wrong with that? Wearing socks with sandals. Come on. Be honest. All the women are laughing. The guys are going, nothing, nothing. All right? No, no. I'm speaking. No. And then I have this, I thought, a fantastic stripy shirt. You know what shirt I'm talking about? Short sleeves. Lynn hates it. And she'll, it's just a look. You're not wearing that, are you? Not, well, certainly not with me. Okay? Passion killers. Now, there are such things as spiritual passion killers. They kill your passion for God. And I've got seven. And so it's probably the next 2 to 3 messages. It is. The first, I'm not going to expose you to all seven today. I'm just going to talk about one. A passion killer, spiritual passion killer, is having an unbalanced schedule. If it's not balanced, it can be a real passion killer. And it trips up most Christians, having an unbalanced schedule. What does it mean? You're either overworked or underworked. Yes, underworking does act as a passion killer. And I'll explain why at the end of the hour. You see, if we're overworked or we're underworked, then we're going to lose our passion for life and our passion for God. You've got to find a balance. You see, life is a series of seasons. And it actually says, a lovely verse in Ecclesians chapter 3 says, there's a season for everything and every activity under the sun. And then it goes on, there's a time to live and a time to die. There's a rhythm in life that we need. And the rhythm is input into our lives and output into our lives. Input spiritually and output spiritually. Otherwise, you're going to lose your passion for God. And we need both in your spiritual life. You need rest and you need work. But you need the balance of both. Too much and you lose your passion. Too much work will cause you to lose your passion. Too little work will cause you to lose your passion. Too little work. And I'm not talking about being unemployed. I'm talking about spiritual work for God. My guess, as we look round, do a quick count, that probably a third of us might need to do less work. A third might need to do more work. And a third are just managing okay. Maybe they've got the balance right, which they will have to adjust some point because things do change. Which one are you? You see, we're all different, have a different personality, but we all of us can go to both extremes at certain points in our lives. Now, the psalmist says this, Psalm 127 and verse 2, he says, it's senseless for you and I to work so hard from early morning till late at night, fearing that you're going to starve to death. For God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest. I love that. And I think that's a good verse. If you want to remember to look it up, Psalm 127, verse 2, write it out, put it on your fridge. Put it on the fridge. God wants you and I to get proper rest. But don't get too much. Because we can be underworked as well. You see, for some problem, Giving out's your problem. Giving out as a Christian. Leaders are prone to it. They talk about it from the front. I'm talking about it. But they're so prone to it. But so is everybody else. You're always helping. How do I identify? You're always helping, always sharing, always serving, always working, always being generous with yourself and the things you have. You never take time to recharge. Is that you? Have you plugged in? You do it to your mobile phones. So why don't you plug in yourself? Why don't we? Get a recharge. If you never take time to recharge, you get unbalanced. And you start to lose your passion for God and for people and for yourself. And you don't know why. Do you know what compassion fatigue is? Have you heard of things called battle fatigue? Soldiers have it or experience it sometimes. Well, there is such a thing as compassion fatigue. You just can't stop caring. You don't mean to, but you begin not to care for God as much as before. You don't seem to care about people as much as before. Anything anymore. Sometimes you don't even care about yourself because you're burning out. You're burning out. You're doing too much service. You get compassion fatigue. So there's an imbalance that needs correcting. But there's probably people here, because we talked about thirds, probably a third of us here are suffering from the opposite. Not overwork, but underwork. You're always taking in, but you're not giving out as God wants you to. You can go to all kind of Christian meetings, do all kinds of Christian activities. You're always learning. You're always being fed. You're always growing. There's always the input. But if you're not giving out, and we all need to give out, in ministry, at work, in your home, you'll lose your passion. Now, why? Well, if you don't have a ministry for God, you don't have a mission and a vision to channel your passion for God through. Because it's not to be channeled through you for you. It's to be channeled to others. And God wants us to be passionate. And the bottom line is you're not really helping anybody. And God wants us all to. You're taking in spiritual food. You're getting fatter and fatter and fatter. Have you ever heard the phrase, holy rollers? Well, maybe that's, it might be. It's not always the happy clappy. But we can take in so much God wants us to give out. I want to give you a bit of a shock this morning. And the shock is, Bible study and taking in from God without ministry giving out is extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous in the Christian life. Why do I say this? James chapter 2, verse 17. To him or her who knows what's right to do and fails to do it, for him or her it's sin. You've got a responsibility. When we get fed spiritually, we've got a responsibility to do with all something with all this knowledge applied out through our lives. We've all got a responsibility there. The more we take in, there's a greater responsibility to use it for God. And we're all going to be held accountable for everything that's come in. Now, what's the antidote? Paul wrote to young Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. He says this, Timothy, take the time and the trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. Now, what do we need to do to keep physically fit? Exercise. Your doctors will say, take exercise. Walk for 2 hours a day. what? And other things like that. What other things? Just exercise? Eat healthily. Right, eat healthily and exercise. Eat and exercise. Eat and exercise. Well, I want to give you five purposes, God's five purposes for staying spiritually healthy in your life. And it's up to you to find the balance of all five. Can you tell me one? Reading the Bible. And growing as a Christian when you do what with it? Apply it to your life. Don't just be hearers, but doers. Okay? So one is the Bible. Prayer. Yeah. Let's go up to six. Fellowship. Yes. Fellowship is absolutely crucial. Sharing your lives with other believers. You're not an island spiritually. Why do you think God's given you gifts? To help each other. Edify, strengthen the body. So we've got prayer. We've got fellowshipping. We've got reading the Bible. Three to go. Do you realize here you're doing the work? Holy Spirit. Seven. Because notes what you do. Be open to those. Pardon? Worship. Yeah. Worshipping God, privately on your own, and together with believers. Why do you think the writer to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 25 says, do not fail to meet together, as is the habit of some, equals spiritual passion lost. All right, so we need to worship together, we need to fellowship together, we need to read God's word and apply it to our lives, we need to have faith, yeah, eight.
To deal with sin,
do something with the wrong stuff in our life. Hey, you're a lot brighter than I am, I've only got five. I hope I remember all these. Well, you need to have a time of ministry for God, where you use the gifts and the talents that God's given you for others. You need that. And you need a time for mission, to share your faith. Find your own Kirby man and share your faith. Ask God to give you the opportunity. And he'll open the door. If you don't, if you get the imbalance of now these nine things and not the five I was going to tell you about, if you get an imbalance there with one or more of these things, you could become a bit like lettuces. What do lettuces do if you leave them in the ground? Pardon? They grow. Actually, they don't yet. They go to seed. They shoot something. Yeah, what's going to seed, he says. Can lettuces do that? Yeah, they do. We love the leaves, don't we? Well, if you like lettuce, you love the leaves. And it's lovely bushy leaves around the lettuce. But if you leave them too long, you don't pick them soon enough, or you leave them too, what happens is they grow straight up the middle. And they're used in their ornament. You know, they don't taste too good once they've been gone to seed. And we can do that. Not grow up the middle, but we can actually go to seed. Now, how do we go to seed? Well, I tell you what, you get a wake-up call through one way or another about having an imbalanced life. And I always think, why did I miss it? Why did I miss it? Why did I have to read something? Why did I have to listen to a message? Why did God have to say, Andy, wake up, you've got an imbalance here? Because we miss it. We wait far too long. and our spiritual passion dies down, and we suddenly realize we don't feel about God as we used to. And that's what I mean about reigniting our spiritual passion. So how do you renew your spiritual passion? When you get home, if you're interested, John chapter 4. It's all about the work of the Holy Spirit. And what Jesus says this, he says, whoever drinks the water I give him, Jesus promised to baptize with the Spirit, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become, you could put passionate, or will become in him like a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And Jesus is talking about the work of the Holy Spirit to feed our passion for God. Because the Holy Spirit does everything else for us concerning our understanding of God. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to reignite people's hearts here for him. He does. He does. Do you want him to reignite your passion for him? Because you see, if we get our passion for God right, our passion for people will certainly follow. Will certainly follow. And so that's my challenge for you today. Is, how's your passion for God? Would you like more passion for God? We'll go to the one who can give it you, the Holy Spirit. And he promises it'll well up. Passion, it'll be expressed. You see, we can tell if people are passionate for things. Footballers, you can tell. You know, Pete, I bet, loves his football. You know, and other people in here. And you can tell when he's getting excited about football. Is that right, Pete? Is that right, Margie? All right, he jumps up and down. Okay? What do you jump up and down about? That's basically it. What do you get excited about? God wants you to get excited about him. God wants me to get excited about him. Because isn't he worth it? All that he's done for us. All that he keeps doing for us. And all that he's got for us. Reigniting your passion for God. Let's pray and then we're going to sing. And I do apologize. A little for the time. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. You love us so much. You're so passionate about us. God, so loved. That's a phrase of passion for me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. Father, you are so passionate for us. Jesus, so passionate. Holy Spirit, you want to bring this passion to our hearts and our lives. And I pray, Lord, let us be available for you to do that. Help us to live balanced lives. We love you, Lord. We want to love you more. We want to be passionate about you more and more. In your wonderful name.